His name we pray, and the church says, amen. Amen. Are you in the Gospel of Luke? I'll be there in about 20 minutes, okay? You know, I was thinking, you know, I always, you know, after you teach, I mean, after 35 years, you know, you teach so many Christmas sermons, you kind of run out of Christmas sermons, amen? And so, you know, you always want to bring, it's so familiar with all of us, but it should be so rooted and embedded in our heart, amen? Every day is Christmas for the Christian, amen? Absolutely. And I was thinking as I put this sermon together, you know, and the thought came to me, actually the title of the sermon is How to Ruin Christmas. Oh, yeah. And I even have it in green and red on my sermon. And, you know, I started thinking about that. Do you ever think how this land of perversion, this world of perversion that we live in, how they have perverted the two most holiest days of the church, Christmas and Easter, amen? Isn't but the way it's been done, I mean, the angel of light, the devil, you know what he does? It's so subtle. I mean, what's more precious than a little Easter bunny? This, you must have some at home. No, I'm... You understand? Or that little Easter basket. And I'm not here to beat any of that up. I'm just talking to you. Is that okay? And think about how Christmas, I mean, you know, I mean, all the songs of Christmas, so many of them that have nothing to do with Jesus. I mean, I can sing, you know, Blue Christmas with Elvis every day, you know. But do you understand what I'm getting at? But it's not what it's really about. So this morning, I want to talk to you from the subject on how to ruin Christmas. And I know that you're not going to, but maybe those listening live that don't know the Lord, they'll learn why. Do you understand? And not only that, I read an article, and that's what spurred this. Let me read this part of this article to you. It was from, I believe, the Washington Post, but it says this. It was entitled, Why Christmas 2021 is Already Ruined. And I went, wow, now no one told me about that. I want to find out. So I was curious. I read the article. I'm just going to give you a few of the things why Christmas 21 is already ruined. The first one, the supply chain problem. It's ruining Christmas. Wow. In other words, toys and gifts. Do you understand me? You know, I didn't know that Christmas came from a store. Did you know that? And here's the next one. Vaccine mandates are ruining Christmas. You know, you can't fly home or whatever, you know. And I didn't know that having or not having Pfizer, Moderna, or J&J is going to ruin Christmas. Did you? And here's the third one, the last one I'll give you. Climate change. Oh, yeah. Climate change is ruining Christmas. In other words, here's the article. It's what they said. Christmas tree manufacturers warn of a supply shortage. Now, I didn't know that a Christmas tree could ruin Christmas. Did you? Do you see what I'm getting at this morning? You know, loved one, listen, I guess if I read the paper, and I mean, if this article is true, I guess Christmas is truly ruined for 2021, isn't it? Well, let me, I might as well ruin it too. For many people, let me just tell you the truth about Santa. Well, he's not coming to town. Let's put it that way. All right? Now, listen, the world's holiday has nothing to do with the most important event in the history of mankind, and that is the birth of Christ. God became man. Man, listen, loved one. The Bible tells us in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Let me read it differently. In the beginning, the Word is Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. John 1:14, and the Word, Jesus, he became flesh, the God-man, and he dwelt among us, or he presented himself, or literally it means to tabernacle or move into a tent. He moved into the same landscape we call earth and lived here with us. Matthew 1:23, and behold, the virgin, it says, will be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That prophecy from Isaiah 7:14 about the virgin. Emmanuel means God with us. And if you want to really, now listen carefully, turn to Luke, okay? Luke 1:5, that's where we're going to start. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Now, if you really want to ruin Christmas, I want to show you how. Are you at Luke 1, 5? Yes. Let me read. Okay, you ready? It was the night before Christmas when all through... Oh, that's the NIV version. No, that's not there. If you really want to ruin Christmas, listen carefully now, in 2021, here's how you do it. You make Christmas all about you and make it, don't make it what Jesus has done for us. Just make it about you. And Zacharias is a perfect example, beginning in verse 5. And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, remember he's the one who killed the little babies, it says, a certain priest named Zacharias, or that means in Hebrew, God remembers. He was of the division of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth, or God who keeps the oath. So we could translate it like this, God who remembers his oath to this couple and to us as well. And they were both, what? Righteous before God. In other words, that was their lifestyle. And look how they lived. They walked in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, and they were blameless. Meaning the ordinances means if they did sin, they went and offered a sacrifice and so forth. So now listen, you know this story so well. They lived in a very dark time. There hadn't been a prophetic word from God in over 400 years. Rome controlled Jerusalem and Judea, if you will. Herod was a puppet king, one of the most wicked that has ever reigned in Jerusalem. And Zacharias and Elizabeth, they loved the Lord. And he served the Lord God. And they were faithful. But something was wrong. It says, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both old. In other words, not just old. They were well advanced. You follow me? Well advanced in years. So to be barren or not have children during that time in the Jewish culture was considered almost a curse. So Zacharias and Elizabeth, they're like some of us that are here this morning. They're closing in on those latter years of their life. And I can promise you that they were not expecting one thing from God. But boy, I tell you, that's one of the worst things we can do, isn't it? Did you know that one of the great mistakes that we all make, I've made, the older you get, sometimes you feel that God, well, he's not going to use you anymore. Do you know that's not true? It doesn't matter your age. If you can still walk, talk, and hear, okay, you can still serve the Lord. Because you don't know what God is going to do any day of your life, do you? Now, you know what the Word says. He's always working in you. He loves you. All those things. But you don't know what God's going to bring into your life today. You don't know what prayer God's going to answer tomorrow that you have prayed 10 years ago. Are you with me? See, you don't know what 2022 holds. You don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. And my question would be really, is because my heart is really already next year, already praying about next year, many, many things. My question to us this morning would be this about 2022. Is the church truly, spiritually ready for next year? This has been, we've been through a long, and we're still in a long pandemic, aren't we? The things that are happening in our nation, which I'll be talking about next year. Loved one, listen, it says in verse 8, look at it with me. And so it was while Zacharias, look what he was doing. He was working for the Lord. He was serving as priest before God in order of his division. And so according to the custom of his priesthood, his lot fell. In other words, all the priests in that day were chosen by lot. They didn't serve at the temple every day. They were chosen by lot to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So that's what he was chosen to do as a priest. And the whole multitude of the people, well, they were praying outside at the hour of what? At the hour of incense. So remember, they were waiting for him to come out with the priestly blessing and so forth. And the priest would burn incense, you know, twice a day in the morning, at 9 a.m., and then 3 p.m. in the afternoon. But during that time, this only occurred once. There were so many priests, only occurred once in their lifetime. And it was such a valuable and precious thing. And so here he was serving, he was working for the Lord, and this getting ready, something supernatural is going to happen. You remember what the altar of incense is, right? Remember in the holy of the holy place, not the holy of holies, you would go up and there was the golden altar of incense, and then you would take live coals and put there and drop the incense and pour it on there and so forth, and smoke would rise before the curtain which blocked the way to the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was. And a sweet aroma would fill the holy place and so forth as that cloud started rising. And something happened, because remember, incense represents the prayers of the people, represents our prayers as well. And then something happened. It says, then Gabriel, remember him? An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So Gabriel's between the altar of incense and the candles, if you will, the golden candles. And he says, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Now we know the prayer, they've been praying for a child, amen? Even though they were old. He says, and your wife Elizabeth, now remember she's barren, will bear you a girl. No, I'm sorry, bear you a what? A son, and you shall call his name God is gracious, meaning John. Now listen, the angel's first word, do not be afraid. The second word the angel spoke was, your prayer is heard. I want you to listen to me carefully. Last night, as I left, I saved this sermon. My computer went black. And so I thought, well, what's wrong? I couldn't get it to come back on. I finally got it back on. And then, you know, my document, my work, the sermon came back up. And so it says, do you want to save this? I said, yeah, hello. Saved it. But I didn't check it. So I thought I was done. And so early in the morning, I get up at 4 and I review it and pray over it and think about, Lord, where are we moving? What are you, da, 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 da. And then when I finally turned it on, all I had done was gone. So I had to go all the way back through and say, you know, what did I say yesterday, Lord? What did you want, you know? And then the Lord spoke to me this morning. Now listen, as I was redoing this, typing, I changed this right here. It says the first words of the angel, it says, do not be afraid. I said, God did through Gabriel. The second word was, your prayer is heard. I am not a prophet. I'm just a simple pastor. But I tell you that I felt in my spirit that that is a specific word for someone in this church today, and that God wants you to do two things. Don't be afraid. What you prayed has been heard. And if God, the Bible says, if God hears the petitions that we have asked of him and we are praying the will of God, it says then we have them, amen? Doesn't say when we'll have them, but we have them. So whoever you are, if that is a word, I believe it is, why don't you just reach out and say, thank you, Lord, I'll receive that and I'll take that by faith right now. Here's the deal. All of us have prayers right this minute sitting at the throne of grace, don't we? Come on. I have for years, and they've piled up there, and not all of them have been answered. Sometimes God says, wait. Sometimes God says, no. Sometimes God says, yes. But they're there. And they're not dead prayers. Your prayers are not dead prayers before God. They're living prayers. And God knows exactly when to answer them. And I can assure you that if Becky and I were 99 years old and we didn't have any kids and we've been praying for a kid, do you think that we would really be believing? I'd be hoping. No. Do you understand? I mean, man, I look and I say, dear Lord. I mean, you know, I go through this and I say, this is incredible. They're well advanced, meaning they're over the hill, okay? Now, you know, so Gabriel, what is he going to do? Man, listen, he is going to lay this out. before him, and look what he's going to tell us. We already know the son that's going to be born is going to be, we already know his name. God says, you're going to call him John. In verse 14, and you, Zacharias, listen, you will have joy. You will have gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth. And here's the reason, for he will be great in the sight of man. No, your son is going to be great in the sight of God. He'll neither drink wine or strong drink, meaning he's going to take the vow of a Nazarite. Remember, you didn't cut your hair. You didn't even eat a grape, if you will, and so forth. And watch this. Your son is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think Zacharias said, oh, yeah, I understand exactly what you mean? I don't think he got it. I know. Listen, and he will also go before him, meaning Jesus, okay? The forerunner of Christ. And look how he's going to do it in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, he wasn't Elijah. He was in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And look what the purpose, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Remember how John the Baptist came, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make a people prepared for the Lord. Now listen, don't you wish that before your child was born, an angel would appear and say, let me tell you what's going to happen. Would that take all the stress out of your life? Come on. Yeah. And so here it is, a supernatural birth, the forerunner of Christ. Is there a greater honor than that? Oh, listen, it was prophesied in Isaiah 40, verse 3, where it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare or clear the way for the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway for God. Remember what forerunners did? They would go before the king. And they would, and when the king went on the long journey, the forerunner would go ahead down the highways, the byways, and make sure that it was going to be a level, smooth, prosperous journey by removing every obstacle in the way. But John was not going to clear a highway. He was going to prepare the hearts of man to receive the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. What a calling. You know what Jesus said about John the Baptist? Jesus said in Matthew 11:11, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not one that has risen who is greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Can you imagine that being said? Your son is going to be greater than any man that has ever lived, greater than Abraham, greater than Solomon, greater than David and Moses. Think about that. Greater than any king, anyone that's walked. He says, because he's going to be my forerunner. Can you imagine being chosen to baptize the Son of the living God? That's what John did. Remember that. Oh, I look and I say, oh, Lord, listen, he was great in the sight of the Lord. Not man, but the Lord. Remember his dress? He dressed kind of like some of us today. You know, everything's all torn up, you know. And, you know, camel hair and, you know, a leather belt, and his diet was locust and wild honey. You know, he was a prophet of God. And not only that, how did he die? His head ended up on a platter, didn't it? Yeah, it was killed. Now listen, so Zacharias now, an angel appears. What would you do if an angel appeared at your home? You know, you're ironing clothes, Mom. You know what I mean? Hello. You know, think about that. See, we just read that like, okay, it's just a normal thing. It's not a normal thing. No, and Zacharias, he's heard these words from this angel, Gabriel, and man, he is exploding. He is rejoicing. Every tambourine is going off, amen? And look what he's so filled with faith. Look what he does. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? Can you believe that? He says, hey, listen, I'm an old man. My wife is well advanced in years. How shall I know this? Let me give you four translations. Phillips' translation. How can I know this is true? Berkeley. In what way can I be assured of this? The Message. Do you really expect me to believe this? The Quinn translation. If you want to ruin Christmas, make Christmas about you. Amen. Now, Zacharias heard 135 words from Gabriel, God's angel, okay? Things that were yet future. He said, I don't know how this is going to happen. Mr. Angel, look at me. We can't even, we're old. Okay, that's what he's just saying. We're old. He says, look at my body. You know, I quoted to my wife on the way in this morning from Ecclesiastes when it says that when you get old, the little things in your life will become so difficult. And what I refer to, I was just trying to button this stupid button. Does that ever bother you that it's like, why is it such a struggle to put that little tiny, why do they make them that small? And why would they even put one there? There's something wrong with us. That's another story, but. And so he just says, listen, he says, you know, have you checked out my wife? I mean, Elizabeth, she's older than I am. You know, she's way over the hill. So here's the deal. Now listen, Zacharias made it so much about him, so much about him that he questions God's ability to fulfill his very own word. Loved one, now listen to me. I know that you celebrate Christmas, and that's a wonderful thing, but we need to celebrate the birth of Christ. Amen? See, if you want to ruin Christmas, again, make it just about you and not about what God has done for you. I'm going to ask you a question. Did Zacharias and Elizabeth, did they love the Lord? Yes. Did they serve the Lord? Yes. Were they blameless before the Lord? Yes, they were. All of those things. But what was Zacharias's problem? The same problem that maybe some of us in the church today have as well. And it's this. We've allowed something that is so beautiful, so wonderful, so precious to become so familiar. Do you understand? Just so familiar. I mean, listen, we're so familiar with Silent Night, and we're so familiar with the manger and the wise men and the star. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, do we ever just look and say, oh, Lord, you know what? Jesus is God in the flesh. How do you celebrate Christmas? How do you celebrate the greatest event that ever happened on this planet? I read a story this week about a woman who was doing her Christmas shopping, and man, she was just going crazy all through the mall, you know, with the mask and all the stuff, and dragging her little three-year-old girl, you know, or boy, whatever he was, and through the mall, and all of a sudden, she can't find her kid, you know? So she's been buying this present, that present, da-da-da-da-da, and now she's lost her little one. So she's running through the mall, retracing all of her steps, and guess where she finds her little boy? He is looking into one of those big plate glass windows of the Nativity, and he's just mesmerized as he's looking at the little baby Jesus. And he says, I quote what she said. He said, Mommy, oh, look, it's the baby Jesus in the hay. And the mother grabs the little boy by the arm, and she yanks him up and says, there's no time for that. Mommy's trying to get ready for Christmas. Come on. Man, I tell you, you see what I mean? We've allowed something so precious to become so familiar. And the angel answered and said, I am Gabriel. I'm the champion of God. That's what he means. The warrior. I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent, meaning sent by God from heaven to this earth, to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings, this good news. But behold, you will be silent or mute and not able to speak until the day or until these things take place. And look at the reason why now. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time, whether you believe it, Zacharias, or not. So you know what happened? You know the story. I'm not going to go all the way into the rest of his life there. But 9 months later, what happens? Well, Elizabeth, she has that baby. He's mute. And he comes out. What's he going to be called? And the people says, well, he can't be called John. There's nobody in the family named John. They give him a writing tablet, and he writes on there, John. And remember, his tongue is loosed and he starts praising the Lord and the Holy Spirit falls upon him. Man, that's what I like. Listen to me. Faith is always rewarded. Faith is always rewarded. Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith, for he that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But unbelief is always judged. Romans 14:23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Think about that. So he says in verse 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long. And when he came out, he could not speak, perceived that he'd seen a vision in the temple, and he beckoned for them, but he remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of the service were completed, he departed to his own house. And now after those days, his wife, Elizabeth, she conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach from among the people. In other words, remember, to be barren was a reproach, or the culture then looked at it as a curse. Now listen, John the Baptist's birth was proof that Jesus was on the way. Does that make sense? That the birth was coming. Now, and the reason that Elizabeth, by the way, hid herself is because of the curiosity of the people. Now, let's move 6 months later and look at verse 26, okay? Now, if you want to not ruin Christmas, then let me tell you what you need to do. You need to rejoice this Christmas, and the way you do that is that you make it about Jesus. Amen? So let's go now from Jerusalem to Nazareth, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Remember, he was a village carpenter. And he was of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. And here's the reason. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Not above women, among women. However, man, no woman on earth has been given a greater honor than Mary. Amen. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace. That's what that word favor means. Grace with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Savior. That's what the name Jesus means. And the angel told Joseph the same thing in Matthew 1:21, and she will bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I don't know how we all have our own particular way of rejoicing, whether you celebrate Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, whatever it is, but we all have our own particular way of rejoicing. I tell you what I rejoice about. I rejoice that my sins are forgiven. That my sins are forgiven, because if I had just one sin that was not forgiven and I died, I would never enter heaven. Do you understand? See, Jesus was born. His birth did not save us, loved one. You know that. His death is what saved us. He was born. He became the Son. The Son of God became the Son of Man, meaning God in the flesh, to die upon the cross for our sins. All of our sins, the world's sins. John 1:29, John the Baptist, what did he cry out? He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of this world. And the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin, that payday is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life. Amen. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, with all that being said, if you want to ruin Christmas, make it about you. If you want Christmas, man, to be incredible and for you to rejoice, make it about what God has done for you. The problem today is that it's so easy, it seems, for Christians to forget what we used to be. Listen, you were an enemy of God. Think about that. The wrath of God abided upon you. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You were without hope. You were without strength. You were without God in this world. Do you understand? That's who we were. Oh my gosh. I look at that and I say, oh Lord, you mean, yes, we were in total darkness our whole life and didn't even know it. We were destined to eternal hell, eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever. And now, look at us, sons and daughters of God, children of God, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Heaven is our home. Oh, my Lord, we are co-heirs with Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but I celebrate. I don't celebrate the world's Christmas. I celebrate Christ's birth. Amen. And look what he says about Mary. He says, oh, Mary, listen, in verse 32, Jesus, he's going to be great. He'll call the Son of the Highest, meaning he's going to be the Son of God, but he's also God in the flesh. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Fulfill the promise that was given to David back in, 2 Samuel 7. And he says, and he will reign over the house of Jacob for how long? Forever. And his kingdom will last how long? No end. Can you believe that? Think about that. Did you notice that he said the house of Jacob? That's Israel. And so many people believe that God is through with Israel. God has never and will never break his everlasting covenant with Israel. The church has not replaced Israel. Amen? Very important to see that. So, and then Mary said to the angel, now watch what she does. How can this be? And look at the reason. Since I don't know a man, that literally is translated, I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. Matter of fact, a man is not going to have anything to do with this birth. Amen? Now, Mary's question wasn't filled with any unbelief. No, she believed the promise, but she was saying, okay, I am a virgin and I've never heard of anything like this. So by what method is this going to occur? I mean, how can I conceive a baby if I do not have a husband? You understand, even though Joseph was her husband, but he had not known her. They weren't married. They were betrothed. Does that make sense? So the angel answered and said, okay, Mary, here it comes. The Holy Spirit will come or rest upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Now, do you think she got that? Come on. We act like we know that, don't we? Here comes the Holy Spirit. He's going to rest, come upon you, the Shekinah glory of God. That mist, that holy cloud, whatever, however it occurred, is going to rest upon you. Therefore, watch this, that the Holy One, speaking of Jesus, his sinless, perfect nature, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of Joseph? No, the Son of God. So Mary is going to give birth, or has given birth, to the Holy One. Can you imagine bringing a child into the world that is without sin? Perfect. No sin nature at all. Think about that. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, and God made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:22 that he was without sin. 1 John 3:5 tells us, and we know this, that he was manifested to take away the sin of the world. Our sins, and yet he was without sin. Jesus, the spotless, sinless Son of the living God. And now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her, and she's called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. And then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Maidservant is the lowest kind of servant. The humility, the trust here. She said, man, here I am. Here I am. Let it be to me according to your word. And what happened next? The angel, he left. Loved one, listen to me. Mary was just a little, she could have been 14, 15 years old. Now there is a woman of great faith. Look what she said. She is the exact opposite of Zacharias. She didn't walk in unbelief at all. She just said, everything that you just said about me and this son that I'm going to have, let it be to me according to your word. I believe every word. I believe the crossing of the T, the dotting of the I. I believe every period. Do you understand? And that's exactly the way the church must be as we move into 2022. We must believe every word of God and apply every word of God. I'm telling you, for the things that are coming, the approaching season that's coming, we need to be just like Mary. I believe the moment she said, let it be according to me, according to the word, Gabriel, he left. He went back to heaven. I think immediately the Holy Spirit probably overshadowed Mary right that minute. Do you know what Mary was saying? She was saying, I believe every word of God that you just spoke, Gabriel, is true. Do you believe that everything that God has said about you is true? You want to have a great Christmas? Believe that. Believe that everything that God has spoken about you in his word, the God who cannot lie, why don't you claim that for yourself? And say, you know, why don't you put your name right there where, as Mary. Let it be according to Bill or John or whatever your name might be. Let it be to you. Oh, Lord, that's right. You know, the Bible tells us in Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's a promise. Do you believe that Christ lives in you? Claim that. Claim it. Believe it. Philippians 1:6, he, meaning God, who began a good work in you, good work, will complete it, will finish it until the very day of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? But Bill, I've had ups and downs. Do you believe it? Let it be to me according to thy word, O God. Romans 8:1, for now there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. None, not one judgment. Our sins have been paid for. We have now we've been justified. We have the righteousness of Christ, his record to our account. The Bible tells us that thanks be unto God, Paul said, that thanks be unto God who leads us in victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that? Every day of your life, if he's leading you, he's leading you in victory. The Bible says we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we are citizens of heaven. Do you believe that? Let it be, oh Lord. That's right. But then there's another problem with that. We really don't have a problem believing that part, but we have a problem doing this part. How about Luke 9:23? Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, if you desire that, he said, let him deny himself, disown himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. How about that one? Oh, Lord, let it be unto me according to thy word. How about this one, 2 Corinthians 5:20? For I am an ambassador for Christ Jesus. I'm his representative upon this earth. Oh, Lord, let that be unto me. Mark 1:17, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. How about that one? Oh, Lord, yeah. Oh, how about that? But I don't know, but maybe. How about this? Luke 6:38, that's another one just came to my mind. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. With the same measure that you measure out, it will be measured right back to you. Let me give you one more. Proverbs 19:17, he who hath pity upon the poor lends to God, and God will pay back what has been given. Let that be unto me according to thy word. I was talking to a young man earlier this morning. He was telling me about how his business has been giving so much to the Lord. And he says, every year that we give such a great amount to the Lord, our business keeps growing and growing and growing. Not giving to get, giving because we love the Lord. Amen? Amen. We never, don't ever give to get from God. All things are already yours. Amen? No, listen. Now, if you really want to ruin Christmas, okay, one more. If you really want to do that, make it about what's under your tree instead of the one who was laid in the manger. Look at chapter 2, verse 6 with me. Luke 2, verse 6. And so it was when they were there, Mary and Joseph, there in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, God in the flesh, if you will, wrapped him in swaddling cloths. That's pieces of cloth. In other words, that's his brand new baby suit, okay? And he laid him in a manger. Someone tell me what a manger is. Feed trough, where animals eat. And the reason there was no room for them in the inn. There's Christmas. Our Savior came from the throne room of heaven and was laid in the feed trough. And there's Mary and Joseph. They're away from home. Remember, they had to go to Bethlehem to register. And there they are from home. They're poor. They have no family there. You know, they have no friends. And now there's no room for them. You know, the world's Christmas steals that night from so many people because there is no room in the world for Jesus. Do you understand? Oh, listen. He says, and now there were in the same country, there were shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said, now for the third time in our study, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news, good tidings of great joy, which will be to how many people? All people. And what is that great good news and that great joy that is for every person and every generation? Look, verse 11, for there is born to you this day, the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That is why I celebrate Christmas. Amen. I have a Savior, and he has rescued me from sin and from hell and death. Amen. Oh, I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Don't ever take those words for granted. Listen to me. I am old enough now, and I'm not a Scrooge. I'm not. If you have a Christmas tree up and all that, God will forgive you. But I'm teasing. Come on. No, listen to me. I'm not talking about putting a tree up and buying presents, you know. But here's what I'm talking about. We live in a perverted world, and this world has truly, the devil, he's ruined the true meaning of Christmas. Let me back up. I opened up and I said to you, and I have time. I'm talking to myself. I saw the clock. I said, the devil has perverted what true Christmas really is, and also Easter. Did I tell you at the beginning of the service the next thing he's going to pervert? Yes. What was it? Easter. Who? Easter. No. The rapture. Do you understand? You watch what's getting ready to start happening. There's going to be something happening to make that. Do you understand? He's so subtle because Jesus said, when you see these things about to happen, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. We're an expectant people, okay? Oh, we're moving into 2022. 2022 to 2024, if the Lord tarries. I'll talk about that next year, maybe. If the price is right. I stole that from Thomas. No, listen to me. No, the world that ruined the true meaning of Christmas, why? In reality, and I love when, listen to me, I'm not talking about the Christian's Christmas, but the world has perverted the true meaning of Christmas. And you know what the world has done? They have made Christmas a sad day, a selfish day, a lonely day, a joyless day, a greedy day. Do you understand? Oh, listen, the world's Christmas, does it promote good news? The world's Christmas, does it promote great joy? No. It promotes you to spend all the money you can, and if you don't spend it, they want to make you guilty. They want to make, oh, how can you not do that? Oh, the craziness of all of this. Listen, the world has a Savior, and if we make Christmas about any other thing than Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, then you'll ruin it. You know, the truth is, I guess Christmas really is ruined in 2021. but it's ruined for those who do not know the true meaning of Christmas. Do you know what the true meaning of Christmas is? Love. Yeah, not your love, God's love. Let me read it to you. 1 John 4:9, it says, this is how the love of God was manifested, made visible, made public toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son who stepped out of eternity, loved one, into this world. Why? That you might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God made his love visible in a manger. His name is Jesus. Amen. I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. God sent his only begotten, unique Son from the throne room of heaven into a ruined world that is still ruined. A world that did not want him, that hated him, that rejected him, and finally they murdered him. And why did God do it? Why did God send his Son? Love. John 3:16. For God, there it is, not just loved, for God so loved the world. So loved the world, this ruined world that's still ruined, that's going to pass away, meaning the people in this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. That is the only kind of life that God gives. Amen. Oh, listen, I read that and I said, oh, Lord, you know what? I'm the object of your, when I was rejecting you, when I didn't want you, I was the object of your love. When I was ruined, my thinking was ruined, my heart was ruined, my life was ruined, and if somebody told me that, I'd punch them. But it was. He comes to ruined people because Adam, sin has ruined mankind. Only God can redeem it. And Jesus paid for our redemption. I don't have time to finish the story, but you know what the angels did, man. They went crazy. They were praising the Lord, amen? And all the host of heaven started coming out. They cried out and they said, oh, listen, suddenly there was with the angels, a multitude of the heavenly host praising and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace, goodwill toward men, or peace on earth of men of goodwill. You can read the rest of that when you get home, but listen to me. Peace on earth. No, on earth peace, it says. Where are you going to find it? You can put, listen to me, you can have 10 million perishable gifts under a tree. Is that going to give you peace? No, it's going to give you debt. You could have 10 million perishable dollars in your bank account. Is that going to give you peace? No, it can't give you peace. Do you understand? It's impossible. There is only one way to have peace. True peace on this planet, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's it. He is Christmas peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen? Oh, the Bible says one last scripture, Romans 5:1. It says, therefore, we have been justified by faith, and we have peace with God. How? The cost through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we have the honor, the privilege to declare what the true meaning of Christmas is, that you sent your Son into this world to die. Oh, to be born of a virgin, to die upon the cross, to ascend to heaven. Oh, God, we praise you. We celebrate the true Christmas. We don't need decorations. There's nothing wrong with that, Lord. We don't need any of it. But what we do need is to know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So, Lord, I prayed this morning, those listening live, anyone here, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord, if you've never asked Jesus to be in your heart, if you're not saved, I'm not saying a church member, I'm saying, are you not saved? You can lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to experience the peace that God paid for through Jesus when he died for me. If you don't have that peace, you can just lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Christ this morning into my heart. I'll not ask again. If that's you, hand up, hand right back down. Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I want Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Quickly, You don't have to come to this altar, but you do have to lift that hand and then put it right back down. Those that lifted your hands, I want you to pray this prayer. If you're listening live, you pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. Say, Father, I just heard the truth. The truth about Christmas. And I want the true Christmas in my heart. And his name is Jesus Christ. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Father, you promised if I would confess Jesus as my Lord and truly believe in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I am saved. Amen. Amen. Let's rise to our feet this morning. Praise the Lord. You that lifted your hands,